Lambert the Sheepish Lion, which is the unlikely tale of a lion raised by lambs. And even though this lion lies down with the lambs, Disney's not concerned about eschatology. That's not the point. Lambert has an identity problem. He doesn't know what he's supposed to be, and therefore he doesn't know what he's supposed to do. Is he supposed to eat grass with fangs? Is he supposed to play sheep tag with claws, which isn't real healthy for the other sheep? What's he supposed to do? Who is he really? Because it's Disney, you know the problem will be resolved, but it gets resolved through some other rather harsh measures. The flock is attacked by wolves, and it's in securing the flock that Lambert finds his real identity as he fights off the enemies and saves the sheep. He discovers who he really is. He's a lion, and as a new statement of that identity that he has found, he also finds his voice. And erupting from him is a great lion's roar as he discovers who he really is. Well, the disciples in the passage in front of you also have an identity problem, don't they? Just a few days before this, they have been in sheepish hiding, fearing for their own lives, thinking also the life of their leader has been taken, and they are hiding away. But they do go to the place of Christ's appointment, and he appears. The one the Bible identifies as the Lion of Judah speaks to these sheepish disciples, and he says this, "You are to be my voice to the nations." And believe me, that is a change of identity from being sheep to being the roar of a lion. But of course, Christ is not speaking just to these disciples. He speaks to all who will name him as Savior and Lord. Jesus must know that these disciples will struggle a bit to claim this new identity. And so he speaks to them and he speaks to us in plain and simple terms about who we are and what we are to do. The words that strike us as we are to identify who we are and what we are to do, our new resolve, first of all, is just this. We are a rock. There are certain things from which we should never be moved. And you get the understanding of that when you look just at verse 20. Jesus says that what these disciples are to be teaching is to tell others to obey everything that I have commanded you. Here, as it were, is almost the backward glance of the Lord, looking back over his own teachings. And he says, as you speak to others, as you are my voice to the nations, what I want you to be about is what I have said. Not what you think, not the philosophies of the age, not what is popular in any given era, not your opinion, but my word. Only a holy God has the prerogative to set holy standards. And you be about what I have said. My commands are to encapsulate your message, and you're not to move from that. But of course, the commands are not all that is taught here as well. More is to be done, and you understand that when you see the 19th verse. What was happening this morning? We are to go and baptize. Here's the wonderful compaction of the gospel message in these few verses, that not only does a God give his commands, he expresses a need for cleansing as well. Because after all, what does the baptism signify but what the blood of Christ accomplishes? Even the washing away of our sins. And here the Lord says that even as God has given holy requirements, he also supplies the holiness. It's his blood that washes and makes us pure. And we're to be about that. And we're not to be moved from the commands nor the message of cleansing. And still the message isn't over. Because we are to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says here. Why? Because it's part of the ritual? Because it's some formulaic words that we add upon the ceremony? No. Because it's not just indicating the cleansing, but God's claim upon us. You know, even today, when you're adopted into a family, you take the name of that family. And here we understand that as we become sons and daughters of the living God, we take his very name upon us. His claim is that we are sons and daughters of the living God. once he has cleansed us. This is the manner of love that he lavishes upon us, that we should be the sons of the living God. It is an amazing truth that we understand the nature of our Father as he is saying, these are my commands, and this is my cleansing, and this is my claim upon you. And it is vital that we understand all of that, because in the most fundamental of ways, when you understand who your Father is and what he is about, you understand who you are. When I was growing up, my family used to take cross-country tenting vacations. And the reason we did is my father was not at that point the owner of the company he later would own. He was just a fledgling member down there, and there wasn't a lot of pennies to rub between each other. So we camped across the country. And we didn't eat a lot of five-star restaurants as we went, the six kids and the two parents. Basically, lunchtimes, you know, we're stopping at a roadside park, and my parents would fix the peanut butter and jelly sandwich while the kids would go off to play. Now, I remember one time when we were in Tennessee around Montgomery Bell that we stopped near a lake, and parents sent the kids off to play with just this instruction from my father. Now, listen, you can play by the water, but stay off the dam. That brickwreck there, those concrete blocks are sharp, and if you fall, you're going to get hurt. So you can go anywhere you want, just stay off the dam. I don't remember why, whether it was a frisbee or a ball or what it was, but for whatever reason, we ended up on the dam. And one of my brothers did fall, and he got badly hurt. He actually severed a tendon in his knee. And I can remember to this day, when we called out for my dad, seeing him turn up from fixing the sandwich and look at us and see that white, hot anger cross his face. What are you doing in the very place I told you not to be? But then he saw that my brother was hurt, and he came running. And when he saw how badly he was hurt, I remember him getting down into the muck and the mud that was beside the dam so he could get down close to my brother and pull him against his chest so he could immobilize the leg. And then as the blood covered them both, we went running for the hospital. And even though it was 35 plus years ago, I can still remember it like yesterday when my father came out of the emergency room and he said, Gordon's going to be all right, it's going to be okay. And I don't think it was just because of the vividness of the image. I think it was because I learned something about me that day. I was the child of a father who loved his children enough to give them commands for their safety. But even when they broke the commands, he covered himself in muck and blood to lead them to safety and then claimed them as his own still. I was the son of such a father. So are you. Because the message of the gospel is that we worship a God who gave commands for our safety. And then when we became enemies against him and broke his very commands, he sent his own son to die for us, who came down into the muck and the mud of this world, taking our sins upon him and covered himself with blood. But it was not the blood of another. It was his own blood in order to cleanse us and claim us as his own. And it is the gospel of Jesus Christ from which we shall not be moved. It is our resolve and our identity that we are a rock and we shall not be moved. This is what we are about. And come the opinions of the age, come the philosophy of the era, we stand for this and we shall not be moved. For it is our cause and it is our claim and it is what our God is about. But of course, it's not all that we're about. Jesus didn't just tell us to stand still, did he? Remember the 19th verse, the early words, therefore, go. We understand where we're to go to. We are to go to the nations. We're not just a rock, we're a river. Begin to understand how mighty a rolling river we're to be when you see what God expects of us. We're not just to go, we're not just to flow. We're to be claiming the nations. Our responsibility and God's expectation is telling us we are a river and we know our next resolve. We shall not be stopped. If we are a mighty rolling river with God's purposes, it is our resolve, our purpose to say, we shall not be stopped. Now, you know, that sounds almost contradictory to what we said before. To say we shall not be moved and now say we shall not be stopped. How do those things fit together? Because you know that when it comes to matters of faith, that when we shall not be moved, we cannot be stopped. Our world is changing so rapidly, it's almost hard to keep track with it. I wonder if you remember, it was less than 18 months ago when a Romanian pastor by the name of Laszlo Tokis in Romania stood up against the communist dictator Ceausescu. And when Ceausescu told him to stop preaching, he would not be moved. And so Ceausescu sent his police to Laszlo Tokis' home to take him. And you have only to see in your own mind's eye what this would be like, to think of the reality for your own experience. The people of Laszlo Tokis' church, when they heard the police were coming, surrounded the parsonage with their own bodies. When the police came and they saw the people, they called for more police and automatic weapons. They ordered the people to move, but they would not move. Instead, what they did was they put their own children in front of them in this human chain fence, thinking surely the troops would not fire upon the innocent, and they would not move. But the troops did fire. In an automatic weapons burst of 6 to 10 seconds, 250 men and women and children lay dead. When the town saw what had happened, there was such a rush of outrage that the people went into the town square calling for change, the outrage now flooding forward, and they were ordered to move. But the people did not move. And so the helicopters were called for, and then the tanks. And they said, move, and the people did not move. And by that evening, thousands lay dead in the square. But because of the people who would not move, there became a flood that could not be stopped. And 10 days later from the first massacre, it was Ceausescu who lay dead on Christmas Day to move no more. When the people of God resolve, we shall not be moved, we cannot be stopped. And there is a river flowing in this world now such as this world has never seen. I wonder if you recognize that while we can never say that the river will always rise so fast and move forward so quickly, that if there has ever been a generation that could say the Word of God is moving and the river is rising, it is this generation. You will establish yourself and constitute yourselves as a new church next week. But I wonder if you know that today alone, there will be 3,500 new churches of Jesus Christ in this world. Now, I know they will all not teach what we want them to teach and be what we want them to be. But what if just a half were? What if just a third were? More than 1,000 new churches today, and another 1,000 next week, and another 1,000 the next week. There is a river flowing. There will be 16,000 new African believers today. And another 16,000 new African believers tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. Evangelicals in Latin America are growing at such a rate that those people who estimate these things say people are not converting from Catholicism at a greater rate now than at any time since the Reformation in Central Europe. 6 times more evangelicals in Latin America between 1985 and 1965. In fact, they say the figures just can't keep going because there will be more evangelicals in Latin America than there are people by the year 2005 if the movement keeps going this fast. Our world is just changing immensely. We had Jonathan Chow, one of our graduates, now president of a seminary in Taiwan, come to seminary just a few weeks ago. And he let us know there are more evangelical seminaries in mainland China than there are in the United States. There is a river flowing. The minority of the world's evangelicals are now in the United States. There has been a river that has gone forth into the world, and there are Bible-believing Christians throughout this world in unprecedented numbers. It is amazing what God is doing before our very eyes, and we can still be seeing it. Just think of what's happening in the Persian Gulf. I mean, I know the horror that was there, but you think about God's purposes. Not only were there more Westerners in the Arab world than ever before in the world's history, but more chaplains, more Christians, more Bibles than ever before in the world's history. Can God be doing a great work? I do not know for sure, but I know my God. And He says, when His people shall not be moved, they shall not be stopped, and there is a river flowing outward, and we can resolve to be a part of that. If we say we take our stand with the teachings of Jesus Christ, If we recognize our resolve is to say it is not enough to sit here, our efforts must flow forward. We are about the cause of Jesus Christ, and we shall not be stopped. And there is a wonderful work that our God is accomplishing, and we shall never be stopped. Oh, I think about just a letter that we got as a seminary roughly 6 months ago from a group of students studying at Beijing University. You know what they asked us for? They said, would you please send us the writings of Francis Schaeffer? You think we ought to send them? Well, why? I mean, we know that the Liberty Rebellion was quashed. We know that the university is atheistic. We know that the students studying Christianity don't have a chance. Why should we do it? Because we are a river, and we shall not be stopped. We are about the purposes of Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter how small the efforts. If our zeal is ignited, then we are not just a river, we are a fire. And the image is important because a fire can be started by the smallest spark and create the most immense of burnings. And that is what's going to happen, you see. We just don't have to believe it from the words that I say to you, but from what God Himself has said. Think of the little spark that He is starting in this passage. Remember the 16th verse, He is speaking to His disciples saying, you're going to spread the message throughout the world. How many people is He talking to? Just 11, not even 12 anymore. And their leader's going away. And it's not just that they're diminished in number. Think about their faith, how small it is. Here is the risen Lord coming back to them. What does the 17th verse say? Oh, they saw Him, and some still doubted. Oh, so small in number and faith, but it's not a matter, you see, of the spark. It's the fuel that it has available that makes the difference. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. There is this gasoline, as it were, for those people who resolve to spark and burn for Jesus Christ. They speak with the authority of Jesus Christ. That means when we're sitting in our Thanksgiving dinners in a few weeks and we say, is it right to talk to my family? Is it right to talk to somebody who's not a believer, to my boss, to somebody else? Do I have a right to do that? Listen to Jesus. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me, and I commit it unto you. You have the right. But it's not enough just to have authority, is it? If I tell you on my authority, the Braves are going to win the series. You know, it doesn't mean much, right? Because authority needs something to go with it to be effective. It needs power. And therefore, we know the import of the final words. When Jesus says, not only do you have my authority, the final words, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Oh, I hope the words just kind of ring little bells in your mind of where Christ spoke earlier, the coming of His Holy Spirit. And He spoke of what that would mean. I will be with you always in the person of my Spirit. The Spirit who moved upon the face of the waters at creation. The Spirit who is that very force that unites all persons and holds this universe together. That Spirit is yet working in those people who spark in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you work with the authority of Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit, you have the gasoline for a little spark to make an amazing fire. Oh, you think what it means to you, even as a church. Here you are starting. Here you are, people, lots of people expecting great and marvelous things from you, but you must know the challenge. Can you make a difference in this world? Can you accomplish what God really would have you accomplish? No, you cannot. Unless you recognize this, it is not our efforts that make a difference. As we stand firm for the Lord and resolve to carry His message forward, then we declare ourselves to be disciples. And when we do as much, we then operate with the authority of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Spirit, and then He can do the work. Because we are a fire. And if that is true, it is our ultimate resolve that we shall not be quenched. We will burn. Because like a fire in a field driven by the wind, so is the Word in the world driven by the Spirit of God. We shall not be quenched if we are about His purposes. Oh, it just doesn't mean it in vast open fields where we cannot identify. But even in our own home front, if we know what we really are, it can make all the difference in the world. My family in recent months has been using that Center for U.S. World Mission, that U.S. Center for World Mission devotional guide that lists the different countries and what's happening with the gospel. And a few weeks ago, we were reading about Malaysia, a country that the guide says the gospel has scarcely touched. When my 8-year-old heard that, he thought for a moment and he said, "Isn't my music teacher Bien from Malaysia?" And we said, "Yes, that's right. Bien's from Malaysia." He says, "Is Bien a Christian?" And we said, "We don't know." So Colin, my son, got out the atlas and he found Malaysia where it was. In his next music lesson, he took the atlas with him and he went to Bien and he opened it up and he said, "Bien, is that where you live right there in Malaysia?" And she just got tickled, you know, she was so pleased that he'd be interested. And she said, "That's right, that's where I live." And then he said in this little chill, childish, nervous little voice, you know, he said, "The people there have scarcely been touched." And she looked a little puzzled. And not much more was said. Now listen, if you were listening in with the world's ear, what did you hear? You heard a little nervous whisper from a small child. But if you listen with the ear of God, what did you hear? You heard a child of God who determined to take the message of the gospel to the nations. And as such, he declared himself to be a disciple, which means when he spoke with the authority of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Spirit. Oh, the world may hear a whisper, but I heard a roar, because the lion was roaring again in the voice of his disciple. My son knew that. He went back the next week knowing it hadn't gone so well, and he wrote me in a song, "Jesus helps me when I'm sad, and he loves me when I'm bad." And he gave that to her. He's going back again this week. Pray for him. Because he knows that when he speaks, Jesus goes with him. Oh, do you know that? You know it when you know your identity and you know your real resolve. We are a rock founded upon the teachings of Jesus Christ, and we shall not be moved. We are a river flooding these nations with the gospel of salvation of Jesus Christ, and we shall not be stopped. We are a fire moving forward with the authority of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Spirit, and we shall not be quenched. It is our identity and the focus of our resolve. Do you know it? Do you know what you really are? We are a rock. We are a river. We are a fire. More than that, we are the lions. Roar! Pray with me. Father, may our voices go from this place united with your own, speaking of what you are about and being what you are about. May the nations hear through us. May we join with thousands upon thousands of those who claim the name of Jesus Christ now and in the world to come because of the ministry of this people in this place. Make us burn for you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.